You ever, catch your reflection and just think, huh, feels like there's a bit more sort of hanging around the middle these days.
Oh, yeah, that's a really common thought. Happens to a lot of us.
Right. Well, today on the Deep Dive, we're actually going to dig into a specific kind of belly fat. It's called visceral fat. And we'll get into what makes it different and maybe more importantly, why it matters for your health. We're basing this on some great info from the Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah, really solid source. And look, we're not talking about the fat you can, pinch right under the skin.
It's subcutaneous, right?
Exactly, that's subcutaneous. Visceral fat is, well, it's tucked much deeper inside your abdomen. It's actually surrounding your vital organs.
Like your stomach and liver.
Yeah, stomach, liver, intestines. It's like this internal layer. And honestly, if you get too much of it, it can really start to cause problems.
Okay, so it's this hidden layer. That's interesting because subcutaneous fat, we can see it, we can feel it. But this visceral stuff is, well, invisible from the outside. So they're both types of belly fat,
They are both belly fat.
but one's obvious and the other's kind of working behind the scenes.
Precisely. And here's the really key thing. Visceral fat isn't just sitting there. It's not just storage.
Okay.
It's actually often called active fat. Think about it like this. It's almost like its own little organ secreting substances.
Row.
Yeah, and when there's too much of it, these substances can disrupt your body's normal functions. They can lead to inflammation, insulin
Which are
resistance,
precursors for.
for things like diabetes, heart disease, serious stuff.
Wow, okay. That completely changes how you think about it. It's not just extra weight, it's this fat that's actually doing things that can be harmful.
Exactly.
So the big question then is, how do we even know if we have too much of this, hidden active fat, since we can't actually see it?
That's the tricky part, right? While sure, a growing belly can be a sign of both types of fat.
Subcutaneous and visceral.
Yeah. Studies do suggest that people with more of an apple shape, carrying weight more around the middle,
Right, a pot belly kind of shape.
they tend to have more visceral fat compared to maybe a pear shape, where fat is more on the hips and thighs. But it's important to remember, a bigger belly doesn't automatically mean it's all visceral. Subcutaneous fat definitely adds to that too.
Okay, that makes sense. So body shape gives us a clue, maybe, but it's not the whole story. What else goes into it? Is it just what we eat?
Not entirely. Genetics definitely play a part. They influence our overall body shape, where we tend to store fat in general,
Including this visceral type.
including visceral fat, yes. But, and this is a big but, environmental factors are huge. Diet, obviously, exercise or lack thereof, even stress level.
Stress, really?
Oh, yeah. A diet packed with unhealthy fats, sugars not moving enough, that basically creates the perfect storm for visceral fat. And stress, well, stress triggers cortisol release. And cortisol can actually encourage your body to store fat, specifically in the abdominal area, as visceral fat.
That feels like adding insult to injury. Stress makes us store the bad kind of fat.
It's a tough connection, isn't it? So, yeah, your genes might give you a tendency, but lifestyle choices really, really matter.
Okay. So when we go see a doctor, how do they figure this out? How do they measure it?
Well, healthcare providers have methods to assess overall body fat, and typically visceral fat makes up about maybe 10% of your total body fat.
Oh, okay. So if total body fat is high,
It's a pretty reasonable guess that your visceral fat is probably elevated too. But there are also some things you can measure yourself at home that give you a good indication of potential risk.
right, let's talk about those. What can people do themselves to get a feel for this?
Probably the simplest one is just measuring your waist circumference. Straightforward.
Okay. What are the numbers to look out for?
For women, the threshold for concern is generally around 35 inches or more. For men, it's 40 inches or more. These measurements are linked to a higher risk of those health problems we talked about.
35 for women, 40 for men. Got it. What else?
Another good one is the waist to hip ratio. You measure your waist, find the narrowest point, then measure your hips at their widest point.
Okay.
Then you just divide the waist number by the hip number.
And what ratio are we looking for there?
Generally, a ratio over 0.85 for women or over 0.90 for men suggests abdominal obesity, which often means higher visceral fat.
Right. Okay. So waist measurement, waist to hip ratio, anything else in the DIY toolkit?
Well, there's body mass index, BMI. Lots of people know about BMI.
Yeah, height and weight calculation.
Exactly. It estimates body fat based on height and weight. A BMI of 30 or more is classified as obese, and that usually correlates with higher visceral fat too.
Okay.
And one more, the waist height ratio. You just divide your waist size by your height.
Suitable enough.
Yeah. And the goal is to keep that ratio no greater than 0.5. So your waist should be less than half your height, basically. Some doctors actually prefer this one because they feel it helps distinguish between fat types a bit better.
Interesting. Okay, these are definitely practical ways to get some kind of baseline. But now the really big question, probably what everyone's wondering, what can we do about it? If the measurements are high, how do we tackle this visceral fat?
Okay, so here's the good news. The strategies are largely the same healthy lifestyle changes we hear about for overall health. They work for visceral fat, too.
Like diet and exercise.
Exactly. Exercise is absolutely key. You want to aim for at least 30 minutes of activity, most days, if possible.
Cardio. Weights.
A mix is best, both cardio and strength training. And actually, something like high-intensity interval training, HIT, can be really effective.
Why HIT specifically?
Well, those short, intense bursts followed by rest periods really push your body. They create what's called an oxygen debt, so you keep burning more calories even after the workout's done. It can be great for targeting fat stores, including visceral fat.
Okay, HIIT sounds like a strong option. What about the diet side? That has to be huge.
Oh, absolutely massive. You want to focus on nutrient-dense foods. Think lean proteins, whole grains, low-fat dairy if you eat dairy, lots of fruits, lots of vegetables.
The usual suspects for healthy eating?
Pretty much. And just as important is limiting the stuff that promotes fat storage.
Like what?
Definitely trans fats. You find those in lots of baked goods, processed snacks, fried foods, some margarines. Refined sugars are another big one. Sodas, candy, processed foods with high fructose corn syrup. Also cutting back on sodium and just generally highly processed foods is smart.
Makes sense. Any specific diet types that work well? I know low carb is popular.
Yeah, some lower carb approaches like keto diets can be effective for some people. By cutting carbs drastically, you shift your body towards burning fat for fuel, which can include visceral fat.
Right, so whole foods mostly, limit the processed stuff, maybe consider lower carb if it fits your lifestyle. Are there other lifestyle things?
Yes, definitely. A few other important pieces. Intermittent fasting is one strategy some people use successfully for weight management, and it might help reduce visceral fat too.
That's the eating windows thing, right?
Exactly. Alternating eating and fasting periods. Also, sleep. Really important.
How much sleep are we talking?
Aim for at least 7 hours of good quality sleep a night. Studies have linked poor sleep or not enough sleep to increases in visceral fat.
Wow. Okay. Sleep matters too.
And stress. We mentioned cortisol earlier. Managing stress is crucial.
How though? Life's stressful.
True. But things like mindfulness, yoga, meditation practices like that can help regulate cortisol levels. And that, in turn, might help reduce that stress-induced visceral fat storage.
Okay.
And finally, alcohol. Being mindful of how much you drink is important. Excessive alcohol can definitely contribute to more visceral fat.
Right. So it's really a whole picture thing. Exercise, diet, sleep, stress, alcohol. Building those healthy habits. Now, is this stuff hard to lose? Is visceral fat extra stubborn?
Actually, here's some more good news, maybe even surprising news.
Okay.
Visceral fat, because it's more metabolically active, is often easier to lose than the subcutaneous kind.
Really? Easier?
Yeah, your body can break it down and use it for energy more readily. So if you're consistent with the healthy diet and regular exercise, you can often see noticeable changes maybe within, say, 2 to 3 months.
That's incredibly motivating. So it's riskier, but also more responsive to change. That's great to hear.
It is. It really underscores that lifestyle changes can make a real difference.
Okay, let's quickly recap those foods to be extra careful about again. You mentioned trans fats.
Yep, trans fats. Oh. Think commercially baked stuff, lots of processed snacks, fried foods.
Huh?
Also refined sugars. Sugary drinks are a big one. Candy, processed items with like high fructose corn syrup listed in the ingredients.
Got it.
And just generally watching sodium and trying to minimize heavily processed foods overall is a good plan.
Makes total sense.
Yeah.
Now, there was an interesting point in the Cleveland Clinic info about surgery. Too much visceral fat can impact abdominal surgery. How?
Yeah, that's a really practical consideration for surgeons. Yeah. Basically, having a lot of excess fat inside the abdominal cavity, around the organs.
The visceral fat.
Right. It can sometimes make it physically harder for the surgeon to see everything clearly. It can kind of obscure the view.
Oh, wow.
And that increased internal fat can sometimes make minimally invasive techniques like laparoscopy more challenging or even not possible.
That's definitely another reason to be mindful of it. Okay, so the big picture seems clear. This hidden visceral fat is something we need to be aware of and proactive about. What's the best advice for people listening? How do they stay on top of this?
Look, regular checkups with your doctor or healthcare provider are really essential. They can look at your overall health, track things over time, and discuss any concerns you have about weight or body composition.
And those self-measurements.
Use them. If you're measuring at home, you know, doing the waist circumference or the ratios, and you're consistently seeing numbers above those recommended thresholds we talked about.
35 inches for women, 40 for men, or the higher ratios.
Exactly. If you're seeing that, it's a really good reason to schedule a chat with your doctor. Talk about your specific risks and work together on a personalized plan, usually involving, you guessed it, diet and exercise.
Right. So bringing it all home then,
yeah.
We've got this visceral fat, hidden, active, potentially more dangerous, surrounding our organs. We can't see it directly, but things like body shape, waist size, waist to hip ratio give us clues.
Valuable clues.
But the really powerful message, I think, is that we can do something about it. Through those consistent, sustainable lifestyle choices, moving our bodies, eating well, sleeping enough, managing stress, watching alcohol, we actually have a lot of control.
Exactly right. It's empowering, isn't it? It shifts the focus maybe from just the number on the scale to what's happening inside. And those daily choices, they really add up. They make a huge difference for long-term health.
That's such a great point. So here's something to think about as we wrap up. Knowing what you know now about visceral fat, how might focusing a bit more on your internal body composition, not just your weight, change how you approach your health? And maybe what's just one small thing, one tiny step you could take starting today based on all this to nudge those visceral fat levels in the right direction? Definitely some food for thought.